Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. We're continuing our Eat the Rich theme.
Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, I'm glad this month is almost over because I'm getting full, guys.
Yeah,
I'm
bloated. I feel a little bloated after the last few.
They say rich food will do that. Oh, I ate this. There's this new pizza place called Queen City Pizza, and it almost made me, it's good. It's really good, but it makes me feel like I'm having a heart attack after I eat it.
That does sound good.
So that's that part of it's not good. That part of it's scary. Anyways, I'm Freddie. Amy's here.
Hi.
Kelly is
here. Don't blame the pizza.
Yeah. It's my body.
Blame your lifestyle.
Kelly's here. Andy's here.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of discovering new places, we discovered Plate to Pit Barbecue yesterday.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They've been around for a while.
You like better than Goodies?
The ribs aren't as big, but A, it's easier to deal with. B, they have awesome brisket and a lot of other things. So Goodies will still be in the mix at some point, but I think we're going to be sticking with Pit to Plate.
Can I ask you guys a personal question?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me spanking my dog? Listen.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's Elsa's bottom.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about They Live. This is our listener David J's pick. He won the raffle for our mailing list. If you want to join the, I keep saying we've run out of space and we're going to upgrade. We never do, but
life goes on.
If there's a spot available on the mailing list, go to our website and scroll down till you see Dracula and sign up there.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's why Mark Watts wins every week.
Because he filled up every spot.
Yeah.
I was going to say David J sounds like the brother of that enlisted person in the G.I. Joe team, Lady J.
Yeah, he's David J. He's just like in the G.I. Joe universe. He's just like a chef in San Diego.
Yeah, he just works. He's a great dude. Guy.
Yeah, he's a real American hero.
But that lady, that's her real name. People didn't realize it.
It's Lady.
Yes. Jay.
Oh. She's like a dog.
Like Lady, first name, last name.
She's not even a code name.
Andy volunteered. Ooh, bless you. Bless you, Amy.
Good Lord.
Sneeze.
Andy volunteered for straight to video Russian roulette. He'll be watching a movie called Scare Me.
I did watch it. I won't.
Or he did watch it. He'll be reviewing it. I don't know what I'm saying. It's still.
We're going to watch it live on the show in real time.
Just going to watch it together.
It's going to be a real long show, guys.
Yeah.
So then we have to discuss it.
Speaking of watching movies together, we had the best time on Thursday night. You should join us sometime. Kelly, we miss you.
I know. I'm sorry. I get doing stuff.
I know you get doing
he
stuff.
Gets
you
should to pop, doing stuff.
Should pop in. We watched two episodes of Tales from the Crypt together, and we talked, and we had
Tree and Fellowship. Alex join us, and we saw their pierogies.
No, I do love them. A lot of times I'll be working on something around that time, or
is it the railroad?
I'll be in the middle of something else.
He's working on the chain gang.
It is the chain gang. It's my community service, and
what you do?
I
can you talk about it, or is it locked up in the courts?
It's hard to describe, really. I was gonna try and go somewhere with this. I'm sorry.
I don't have to put you on the spot.
I really wanted to support. Yeah. I liked where it was going, but
no, I don't mean to. Push improv onto people. I haven't done it.
It's okay. I understand. I haven't done any improv games yet this morning. I'm kind of being lackadaisical with my improv exercise. I haven't done hardly any this week. Just a little improv cardio on Tuesday.
He's trying to maintain.
Yeah.
You don't want to get it backed up.
But you know, you don't, if you lose it if you don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Use it or lose it.
Every time I hear the word lackadaisical, mm-hmm. brings me back to that Horror Hound weekend.
Oh, lackadaisy.
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 She was the world's laziest cosplayer. It's fine. Live your life. I'm just being silly, obviously, and she's a fine human being, I'm sure.
I don't remember her. She just like tie a bandana around her head and say she was Jack Sparrow or something.
No, I think she just had a little bit of blood like dribbling out of her mouth, and that was it.
She had a tiny little bit of blood.
Yeah.
She could have been sucking on a lollipop or something.
Right, it wasn't even a costume.
Yeah, and she had these tiny, tiny little horns.
Yeah. And that was it. Just some jeans and a shirt.
Yeah. They could have been pimples. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like on her way out the door, she remembered she could cosplay and like just grabbed shit out of her little sister's room. Like, I'm going to take your Halloween horns from 2 or 3 years ago when you were like a little baby lamb. And
what if she was like one of those patients on Dr. Pimple Popper and those horns were real?
I know they could have been. And now I feel bad.
And she just had tripped and bit her lip.
What a day.
Because somebody was like, oh, my God, look at those horns. And she looked over to be like, hey, I'm a human being. And she tripped. And fell on bitter lip.
And then we weren't even impressed enough to make fun of. We were just like,
whatever.
Yeah.
Try harder next time.
So I will forever remember Lackadaisy.
It's hard to have a horn, I bet.
Yeah. It would have been the rescheduled Horror Hound weekend.
Yeah, they're doing a virtual weekend, film festival. So if you have, if you hear this, it'll probably be over by the time you hear this. But if you had a ticket to Cincinnati, there was a code on there that gave you access. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know about it until, in time to promote it on the show. But hopefully you got to check it out. And if you don't have a ticket, you can still get access. I think it's $15. Mm-hmm. You could have access to the film festival.
And we set up a virtual booth. You can visit us if you want.
Mm-hmm. Andy virtually made cookies.
That's what our Zoom meetings on Thursday are. They're our virtual Horror Hound booth.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else is going on, y'all? Just a global pandemic still.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's still pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going okay, I guess.
Sure.
It's doing its thing, you know. It's had a lot of success.
So much success.
The virus.
I got that going for me.
I'm happy for it, you know.
Well, it just proves that people complain enough that, you know, they'll get shit done.
Yeah.
This is true.
What?
I need my haircuts.
Oh, that.
And it worked because salons are open.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere's so it pays to be a Karen.
No, apparently it does.
Well, right, I don't recommend you to being a Karen.
No, I'm still not going outside.
Man, we saw some wicked Karen hair on. We were either watching A Haunting or 48 Hours. I can't remember which.
I don't remember.
But it was like ultimate Karen hair. Yeah. It was turning in on her face.
Yeah.
That's late stages Karen.
Yeah, she was more Karen hair than Karen.
That's what happens if it goes unchecked.
Yeah, early detection is key.
What is the opposite of a Karen? So like Goofus and Gallant, you want to be
like
a Gallant?
like a Crystal Gale.
What? Like what's the name that
evokes? Oh, the opposite of a Karen.
Yeah, like evokes relaxing and being kind and nice.
Jules.
And unentitled. Jules?
Yeah, Jules.
No.
Jules is the most relaxed name in the world.
I don't know.
Just say it, Jules.
How about a birdie?
Birdie?
A birdie.
Birdie's like an older lady who has a garden.
You're right.
And she's great. She's fun. She smokes pot. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal because she's always smoked pot.
What about a Hannah?
Hannah?
Oh, mm-mm.
No, you're right.
Hannah's a vegan and she wants you to be one too.
Okay. We got to listen, listeners, us, we all need to get together and figure. I need to know what the opposite is.
Gem?
A gem.
J-E-M.
That's not a name.
Oh, it's Gem's name.
It's Gem's name, Andy. Yeah,
and the holograms.
I actually know two. I know two gems.
You know two gems?
I do, literally. Yeah.
Like human beings?
Yeah. Is that possible?
Hey,
yeah.
Kelly, can you make a t-shirt that's Gem Halpert?
Yeah, I definitely can.
It's him, but with a gem makeup on.
Yeah, I'll see. I want to see her look at the screen with a smirk on her face.
Yeah. Honestly, if you just combine like their manager guy and Jem, you have Jem Halpert.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember his hair, his boofy hair?
It's true.
I don't remember that, but I believe you.
I'm going to make that meme and I'm going to co-credit you.
Kelly, have you ever seen the Jizz videos?
I have in my life.
I mean, I'm talking about
those are different ones.
The spoof of Jem.
Oh no!
There, it's like they over. It's kind of like the G.I. Joe PSAs.
Oh, nice!
And they overdub.
Jizz.
Yeah,
jizz.
They're pretty fun.
Oh, maybe I have watched those actually. I think I have.
Do you like blue humor?
I've been known to peruse a blue joke here or there.
And you love jizz.
I can't recommend jizz enough.
I've dabbled in jizz.
Yes.
Dabbled in dribble.
Oh my God, you guys, clean it up.
I was just talking double about dribbled. How I wanted to class it up yesterday. Yeah. Didn't happen.
And here we are.
One day at a time.
This take is these your things fault.
One day at a time. It is my fault.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of Jem. It's truly outrageous. It's really, truly.
Oh, Kelly just said Schneider. I loved it.
Schneider?
Mrs. Romano. Because you said one day at a time.
Dwayne the bathtub. I'm drowning.
Ooh, Schneider.
That was good stuff. Hey, you guys want to move on?
Well, let's do the things we got to do at the top. Patreon.com/NOTLP if you want to support the show.
Yeah, we just did a Night of the Comic about Jason's flooded comic book storage. Aww. He didn't lose anything.
Okay,
it
good.
Worked out and he got fixed. His hot water heater exploded.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boo.
Which is weird because it's like the same week that we had ours replaced and apparently ours was close to going. I didn't even know it. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know how bad it was. And
was that last week?
Yeah. Wasn't that last week?
Week before.
It's all blur. Tommyknockers knocking at your door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because our basement got flooded as well.
From the rain though, right?
Yes.
Maybe the rain.
That's no, funny
it was the rain.
My panties got flooded.
Oh. <Ooh-ey>.
I was watching They Live and like, they got flooded.
Yeah. Oh, because of Rowdy Roddy Piper? Or
that ass.
Yeah.
All right,
that ass.
Yeah. He could pull off the mullet.
Yeah.
You know,
you could pull off my panties too.
One of the rare times. Andy, were you there when we interviewed him?
Rowdy Roddy.
I don't think so. It's a good thing because I would have been in jail.
Was that Pittsburgh?
No, it was Indy.
Indy. He was great.
Yeah, he was very nice.
His son was super great. They're just a really nice family, like just a cool guy.
Love Roddy.
He was the best. We'll be talking about him more, a whole lot more. What else, Amy? Oh, I'll just go ahead and say, you know, Eyes on TV, that Fozzie's TV podcast we have been talking about for a very long time, is on its way. Episodes are already in the can, so to speak. There's just some post stuff going on. Those will be available over the Patreon page as well.
You're fixing all the CG in post.
Yeah, I'm making Fozzie 2 inches taller. And it's taken a long time to just go through every frame. No, it's an audio show. And he has an episode about Murder, She Wrote, which I'm sure Andy will love. And there's other episodes coming in the pipe. There's stuff in the pipeline just waiting for your ears. So I will let you know when that's all available. And
unfortunately, the pipeline went through native grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. There was protesting, but we were like, guys, people have to have content.
Wasn't there a coffee shop called like Hallowed Grounds on a TV show or something?
It's in Dawn of the Dead remake. It's in the mall.
Oh, Hallowed okay. Grounds. I was trying to remember. I knew it was something.
Speaking of things of that nature, I wanted to bring up something tied to last week. So the movie Blood Quantum that I watched, it just so happened that Elise, a couple days later, came across a Wikipedia article about what Blood Quantum really is. And what Blood Quantum is how much of your, like, it's sort of a thing the U.S. came up with to determine how much of your ancestry is Native American or Native.
Oh.
So your blood quantum is how much, like, you know, when you hear someone say, I'm 1/16 Cherokee, that's kind of related to what blood quantum is. And it was sort of, I think, a U.S. government thing. And then some, I guess, tribes do like if you want to become an official tribe member, some of them I think require certain blood quanta, but most actual native groups or nations or however you want to say it don't. But that was it was sort of a way to oppress people, was the blood quantum.
Interesting.
Which is why it was named that.
That's sad. That brings like a whole appreciation of why the name was so goofy.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, it's actually a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
For a weird thing, a sad thing.
Yeah, it's like a eugenics thing almost, huh?
Mm-hmm. Which is what, have you watched it yet?
Not yet. No.
I feel like you would have said you had if you had when I brought this up, so it was silly for me to ask. But,
you silly monster.
Kelly, you're such a silly Billy.
It's really good.
No, Freddie forced me to watch Demolition Man recently, so that's all I had time for.
You loved it though, didn't you?
I kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Demolition Man's fun. We watched Zoolander recently, and...
Have you seen Zoolander?
I had never seen Zoolander myself.
I said Zoolander.
I have seen Zoolander.
I haven't.
Too Furious.
Is it good?
Zoolander?
Yeah.
Smells like poop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big number Zoolander.
I have not seen Zoolander 2, if that's what you're
asking.
Oh,
yeah, that's
asking.
What I was asking. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I thought you were doing a play on words.
No, they called it Zoolander. That was like the play.
That is that real? I thought you were making that up.
Yeah, it's real.
Came there's a Zoolander 2?
Yeah. There is a Zoolander 2, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe that
first second. It came out a few years ago.
Yeah, it really exists.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny because I thought Zoolander was kind of a flop.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I love Zoolander. The gas station sequence is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Where they went out for smoothies and they had a gasoline fight.
Yep.
It's just, I love the commentary on dumb models.
It's a fun movie. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We also watched The Gift yesterday, which I have seen, but Elise has not. Big recommend.
Oh, I love that movie. The Joel
Edgerton. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Really good.
Have you seen it, Amy?
Is that the one with Bateman?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good.
I've seen the
one with Katie Holmes.
Yep. That's where she took her top off.
Okay.
I'm just saying that movie's famous for.
That is what it's famous for.
It's just not, it's uncharacteristic of who she was at the time where she's like, I got to break out of this WB box.
No one would have expected that she would have gone on to become a topless activist.
That's right.
Free
years later.
The nipple.
I mean, I get it.
You want all nipples to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't like paying for them.
Right.
Tired, the nipple rent is too damn high.
I hate big nipple.
Big nipple. They're trying to keep you in your cage.
Yeah.
I was thinking today, like so I call my mom every day to talk to her during all of this since we can't be physically together and we run out of things to discuss. And I was like, is that going to infect the banter section of the show? And not really, we can always find shit to blah blah about, right?
Yeah, I'll just talk out of my ass. I mean,
literally.
Like Ace Ventura.
Exactly like that.
Can I ask you a few questions?
Do you have any banaka?
So here we go. It's just my mom and I don't banter stuff like that way.
We're up on current stuff like that in Zoolander.
I should make her watch Zoolander and then we can riff on it for a while. I should assign her homework.
Yeah, you should.
For us to then riff on.
She watched The Banker. Maybe you could watch The Banker.
I don't want to.
You can have banker banter.
You could have banker banter with her.
Freddie, you were going to bank. You do that.
There was a time when Amy would watch anything with Samuel Jackson in it.
I do love him, but it still has to be something that's interesting to me.
You don't
Sammy
think
Jackson is great.
Sammy Jacks.
The Banker. It's a real dull title.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing itself any favors with that title.
No, it's not.
Like, no.
They should have called it Banker of Quantum of Banker or Bankers Never Say Banker or The Banker Always Rings Twice.
Banker motherfucker?
The motherfucking banker.
Oh, that was so adorable, Freddie. You tried so hard.
Banker's on a plane.
I'm just trying to come up with a better title that will entice people to watch The Banker.
Must Love Bankers?
Must Love Bankers.
The truth about cats and bankers.
Banker and me.
Banker cock dangerous.
Lock, stock, and two smoking bankers.
Banker you for smoking.
Like, we've given them so many options. They should call us. And yeah. Us
can I do one? Yeah. It's going to be real bad, but Bankers and MASH.
Oh. Banker, stanker, soldier, spy.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Banker, wanker.
I think we're ready to move on.
God, Richie, spanker, wanker. All right, I guess we are ready to move on. I guess we are always ready to move on in some way.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
On the quiet neighborhood, Christmas lights are twinkling on some of the houses. A teenage babysitter slouches on the couch, the flickering TV on her motionless face as if she's in a trance. And then...
camping tonight. Exciting.
Well, we got two more victims to pick up.
Victims?
Oh, yeah. Barry here is obsessed with having a ghost storytelling competition tonight.
Okay.
Well, what do you get?
To live?
I remember. It was always tomorrow.
They're trying to scare people away from going to the festival.
What am I supposed to do?
Where are you going?
You want to romp with me, Babylon boy?
You're not you.
Well, then who am I?
I am no murderer.
John, are you okay? John.
That movie looked cheap.
A little bit.
That movie looked real cheap. They're, whoever designed their titles needed to work on their kerning a little bit.
Damn! The kerning was
there's one thing I got to say about this movie is it had poor kerning.
Yeah.
You didn't see the chaos of me like accidentally smashing a bunch of buttons on this end, did you?
No.
So the experience, was the experience for you guys, everything sounded fine?
Yeah.
You should have seen the shit I just went through during the break.
You sweating?
I hit every wrong button.
He was nervous farting?
There's too many levers in this hot air balloon. It's going to crash.
So Andy.
Yep.
Well, that Freddy's description of what he just did sounded a lot more entertaining than this movie.
Oh, damn.
So it didn't scare you, apparently.
No. I don't know why I volunteered. I guess
you did.
Let's teach you a lesson.
What's that saying? No good deed goes unpunished.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means, but I feel that it's fitting for this situation.
That's what it means.
Yeah,
that is what it means. You nailed it.
Okay. In a weird way, I want to be, very forgiving of this movie because it seems like something we would see at the Horror Hound Film Festival.
Yeah.
Just like these shorts that are cobbled together that they just run before movies.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine seeing like six of these shorts in a row.
Exhausting.
I can imagine that. I have.
Yeah. And then you get an idea of what this movie's like. I don't even know how to describe it. It was so confusing because they threw everything they could into it that had no reason to be in it.
Hey, Andy, was Chris Redd in this?
No, there's like four different scare me's.
Okay, this is a completely different one.
I was looking up stuff on IMDb and apparently there's another Scare Me that came out.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Well, I'd watch that. I love Chris Redd.
It also has terrible reviews, but Chris Redd's in it.
You got two Scare Me's, and then there's Scare Me Renner.
Scare Me Renner!
And then there's Scare Me Irons. There's so many out there.
I love a Scare Me Sue for dessert.
If you're looking for this movie, it's the one with like the, it's got a cool movie poster at least. Like it
why I chose it.
Yeah, it's very 80s.
Yeah.
And Kelly, I just want to give you a bladed Zawo for the Scare Me Sue.
Thank you. That's very good. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the one that has two directors, Conrad Glover and Mark Stevens.
Yeah, I don't know how two directors could fuck up something up so bad. Okay, I don't even know what the wraparound story is. You know how anthologies always have this wraparound story that kind of ties everything together? Ostensibly, these college kids are going to a music festival and they pull over and camp and they tell scary stories and there's some contest involved, which is weird because why would you have a contest about the scariest story? Just tell scary stories.
Yeah.
And who's judging this contest? Imagine us sitting around telling scary stories and we have to judge it. Give me a fucking break.
You send it to David Lynch afterwards.
Yeah. You would just say Kelly would finish his story and you'd be like, that's fun.
Yeah. Wasn't that great, guys? Mm-hmm. And then we don't vote for Kelly and then he gets all upset about it.
Yeah, he would.
Okay, so everybody has a chance of telling their story and they're all bad. There's one in particular. It was so confusing. Because it's a story about how like body cam footage from a cop and they try to figure out what would happen on it because it was kind of crazy. But you get the body cam footage and then you see it was also filmed like a movie. So you get two perspectives. So I was so confused about what was happening. Looking at a movie or the body cam footage?
I do think cops body cam footage is a good vehicle for found footage.
No, I like creative. That idea. If you stick to that and show nothing but body cam footage, but then you show the cops being filmed like they're in a movie and you jump back and forth between that, is very confusing.
Right. Yeah.
And I think they had a sale on teeth, you know, like vampire teeth.
They had a sale on teeth. Come on down because, to the teeth emporium.
Because four different segments had the same teeth. I feel like they bought the teeth and they made those shorts fit around the teeth.
Somebody's dad manages a Capels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to have all the teeth you want.
I own several Spirit of Halloween franchises.
I feel like if there's a sale on mustaches, that all the shorts would have mustaches in them for some reason.
I hope that they were separate teeth for each, because I don't want you spreading the Rona through fake vampire teeth.
My shorts have mustaches in them, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, judging by looking at how poorly made this movie was and how cheap it was, it would not surprise me if they had like two sets of teeth and everybody just passed them back and forth.
Yeah, I would believe that.
And just, that's how Rona started.
Rona soup, baby. That's how it started.
And there was this weird undercurrent of like right wing ideology in this.
Uh-oh.
Really? Now it's gotten interesting.
Because one of the segments, one of the things that the wraparound story has, you get this news person, it's kind of like a Rachel Maddow type, that she's talking about social justice and stuff like that. And there's also a short where they talk about false flags and conspiracy theories. And even the short about the body cam footage from the cop, it had like this weird undercurrent of,
oh, weird.
If they just complied, like they wouldn't be a problem. It's not as like blatant like that, but it was like kind of implied that, you know,
be like the Twilight Zone if Rod Serling stepped out at the end and goes, maybe you should have just stopped in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly.
They were sort of leaning into that sort of right wing agenda kind of thing.
And they kept, like, there's some mentions about how people are being too sensitive and stuff like that in PC culture. I don't know why it was, they try to shoehorn that stuff in, but it gave me a very uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from how bad the movie was, the weird politics of it was
it's just like the icing
odd.
On the cake.
Yeah. And it was so fucking long.
It's funny you should say that about the weird politics, because when we get into our main attraction, there's a whole weird story about They Live that we'll discuss. But
okay,
just funny that this should happen.
Yeah, I don't want to crap on this movie too much, but there's a lot to crap on about because there's real bad. It was real long.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, dude. Come on.
Come on,
dude. What's up? It granted, like, my attention span is so short right now,
mm-hmm.
but in general, that anything beyond like an hour and a half, I get bored with.
Yeah,
but
you got to be tight with that editing fucking knife, man.
But they just added so many unnecessary moments in this. They were before they went on the road, they went to a restaurant, and there was this 5 minute long scene. Well, it felt like 5 or 10 minutes where one of the characters was just railing on the waiter for being slow or something. And it was just so unnecessary and out of place. I don't know. And
somebody who took to heart that whole argument that every scene needs some sort of conflict in it.
Right.
And then you're like, well, if we're going to have a diner scene, something, or a restaurant scene, there has to be conflict. Where's our conflict? And he's like, fight with the waiter. There you go. Check that box.
And everybody's just yelling in this movie. It's a very angry movie. You know how, like, that thing where they have, where it's like, why are these people friends? Because everybody's an asshole to each other. I hate that. It just seems like a very easy thing that people do for, like, if they're the teenager or college age characters. That
they all hate each other.
Yeah. And, like, why are you on a road trip with these people you hate?
Although, to be fair, I think we've all been in that position. It's just
I don't hate everybody that goes on the trip with us.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not, if it's handled correctly.
Just myself. I hate myself. So when any road trip I'm on, I'm there with somebody I don't like.
But no, it's like over the years, especially younger people, if it's handled correctly, that can be like, you know, drama gold and dialogue gold. But the thing is, like, if it's just there for the sake of having some sort of conflict, then it's just stupid. If it doesn't serve the story, then it's
nothing served the story. If there was a story in this movie,
could someone go out and serve the story, please? It's been sitting at that table for like 15 minutes.
We're still waiting for water over here.
I don't want my sandwich now. I wanted it 10 minutes ago.
I want to speak to the manager of this movie.
Yeah, you do.
Found out what went wrong.
The longer you go without a haircut, Andy, it is turning a little Karen. Yeah, and here we go.
Mm-hmm. This is what I've become, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You could ask the director if they have like more believable interactions left in the back.
Yeah, like
that was good.
I was going to end the review here because I could go on and on, just like this movie did. It's definitely not a recommend.
I'm sorry, Andy. I feel like it's my fault because it is, but
you didn't make it.
That's true. I didn't make it,
and I volunteered. So,
and that is all.
Yeah, it's really not your fault, Amy.
Thank you.
And part of me kind of feels bad for crapping on this movie so much because you can tell that these people are not good
in their souls, their very being.
And I'm sorry if you're listening to this, the filmmakers, and you're involved with this, but it wasn't good. I'm sorry.
Well, Andy, some things aren't good. Have you made?
I mean, like, Grand, I remember how we used to be on the show and being extra mean, but sometimes a movie just brings it out of you.
Yeah. I get it.
I feel like Taylor Swift right now. Like, look what you made me do.
Look what you made me do.
I liked that.
Sorry,
album.
that was a very rambling review, but it's a very rambling movie.
I enjoyed it. I ate pistachio nuts for a majority of it too,
mm-hmm.
which made it even better.
Yeah.
So it was like entertainment. I'm just sitting here eating nuts and you're just entertaining.
It went from your least favorite part of the show to your most favorite part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So salty.
Yeah, you're like Michael Jackson in Thriller. You know that popcorn gif all the time that people share? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one where it's like the Kermit drinking tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who's going to watch and review for the next show. Let's get the Jack in the Box out and start a crank. And we're going to start with me. I'm Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I live. Then we're going to start with Freddy. And you're Freddy.
I am Freddy. Fudge. Only I didn't say fudge.
Mother, father. This is a Korean horror movie. It's on Shudder. It's called 0.0 Megahertz. Members of a supernatural exploration club go into a haunted house.
Like you do.
It's got pretty decent reviews.
Yeah.
And it's popular on Shudder, so let's give it a go.
I tend to enjoy most of the Korean movies that make it out.
Yeah,
sounds good.
You know, they I think they have somebody in charge of like quality checking all of their film exports.
Right.
Where they're like, this one can go. This represents us a little better than that one.
This has always been true, but it's truer now when I'm looking for roulette movies. I kind of stay away from the more like tortury ones because they're not my favorite. And I don't think they give us too much to talk about, but
they're not any of our favorites. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and even during, you know, this pandemic and just the global anxiety that everyone feels, I want to stay away from ones that are more hurt, that would hurt your feelings. Let's all just find a little positivity. So like some Korean ghosts, let's fucking do it, man. Mm-hmm. Let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm. 0.0 megahertz.
So if you're like a torture lover gorehound, I'm sorry that I'm not giving you what you need, but I'm giving myself what I need.
Yeah.
Deal with it. And
this is about us.
Yeah. Yeah. But
this is for us.
It's our show.
We had a discussion earlier about like how you got to do what you do for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to love it. Mm-hmm. You got to love what you do.
Yeah, it's the only reason to do it.
Mm-hmm. You like what we do at Fraser Williams. You like what we do. Is that a national company? Or does anybody else get that ad?
I don't remember that at all.
Fraser Williams. It sounds familiar. I don't know what they are, though.
I think they were.
Do they make paint?
Paint, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sherwin-Williams.
Sherwin-Williams.
That's Sherwin-Williams.
Is that song for them?
No, but
I think you... 800 Empire.
If you're not singing, like, because we have more commercials in our lives now that we have Hulu Live.
Yeah.
If you're not singing Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Have you got a clogging problem?
Oh, the clogging or the rat problem?
I like the rat problem.
And I've had round and round stuck in my head.
I love hair metal. So like that, I enjoy that commercial immensely.
Like, so it's just all of these things are stuck in my head all the time now. And actually, I lived a life without commercials for a very long time. And now I'm it's kind of pleasant.
How do you feel about, what is it? Allstate Mayhem. I'm your mother-in-law.
I love that. I love those.
Do you?
I love Mayhem. I love that guy.
I think the problem is they run that one too many times.
Well,
I think that is a problem because I do love that guy. But every time I see it now, I wish that I had a gun which to shoot my TV.
You kind of, you want them, they need to make some fresh ones where he's like, I'm your prolapsed anus. And I just left a big bloody mark all over your new car upholstery.
Yes.
You know, but
that's relatable.
Has anybody ever submitted a claim for a prolapsed anus
stains?
Destruction?
Yeah.
Someone has.
For the stains. They don't cover the anus itself.
That's a medical issue.
That's a car insurance company.
If any insurance adjusters are out there, let me know.
Send us your anus stain stories. Prolapse or not?
Prolapse or not?
I'm your grand.
It's called a stainus.
I'm your skanky ex's snail trail.
Okay.
Oh.
We're done here. Let's move on.
What else could he be, guys? What else could he be? We don't know. We're going to enjoy it. We just enjoy each other.
Satisfaction guaranteed to grind the chains that bind you. Brothers!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful!
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you! Blinded us to the truth!
They are safe as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them.
Stay away from me.
Put these on.
They have us.
Look at them. They're everywhere. Our owner.
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
Listen to what I'm saying to you.
We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble.
Control us!
They're sending some kind of signals on the TV sets.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletale.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go!
Push a
button. I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
To chew ass and kick bubble gum. Wait, rest. Take two. I've come here to eat your ass. Cut.
Do you remember when you could be a drifter and not be a serial killer in the 80s?
Yeah.
You could be a drifter and be a positive influence. You know what I mean? You could help people.
What? Okay, Andy, this was your first time, right?
No, I've seen it a couple years ago.
Kelly, was it your first time?
Yes.
Okay. Mine too. Nobody ever told me how fucking silly this was.
Yeah.
I thought it was like not a serious movie, but a movie.
Well, the funny part is they don't list comedy as one of the genres for this movie. Yeah. If you pull it up on IMDb, although I think, and I don't know how you could back into such a great comedy. I think John Carpenter knows so much more about what he was doing than people let on, you know, because it's a freaking hilarious movie. Like,
Well, I think the subject matter leads you to believe that it's going to be more serious.
Yeah.
But right, well, because it's our like lives said, right now.
Yeah. But well, Amy said it's real. Yeah. It's real silly.
It's a silly movie. That's I don't know the original story it was based on. I don't know anything of that.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock in the morning by Ray Nelson, who was
and I don't know the
kind of a far out guy
or tone of that. I don't know anything about when this was really blah blah blah. Just Amy right now, this silly movie like backed into accidentally like really coming up and giving us truth.
Oh yeah. Oh, I think well there was the commentary but in a was always clunky, there.
Well, no, I understand that.
Even the original story was a lot. It's an clunky. You know, it's a consumerism.
Well, duh, but it's very clunky in the way it tries to do this. But it was fun.
Well, yeah, it's a movie where you bring in a pro wrestler, who has. I mean, Roddy Piper made a ton of movies. I'm a huge fan. But like,
they usually make good actors.
It was a goofy, but his style is very much like almost like silent film Buster Keaton-y, almost in the school like Jackie Chan or something.
It's very wrestlerish, like he was like,
yeah,
it's very over the top and broad.
I do have a question, and I don't know any of the trivia about this movie, but was this intended for Kurt Russell originally? Because I feel like John Carpenter was like, I wanted Kurt Russell. I love Roddy.
Yeah,
we're gonna use him, but I kind of wanna.
Well, actually, it was going to be Kurt Russell, but John Carpenter was like, I've just made three consecutive movies with him in the lead.
Oh,
and I've got to just mix it up. And that's the only reason he saw WrestleMania 3 and he saw Rowdy Roddy Piper in that. And John Carpenter is a huge wrestling fan. And he was like, this guy has just got something. And I think he'd be perfect for the role of the creeping kid in my movie, The Creeping Kid.
Yeah. Now, you know, when I was a young lad, when WWF WrestleMania and all that was humongous, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
I hated it. But all my little guy pals loved it and would make me watch it. And then we'd have to play after we watched wrestling on Saturday. Then we had to play wrestling.
Yeah.
And we all were different people.
Yeah, and I always had to be the bad guys.
Yeah, and I didn't want to play, but I had to if I wanted to play with people. So I always had to be the bad guys, and I actually liked Rowdy Roddy, so I always got to play Rowdy Roddy.
He was great.
And my friend Dave played Hulk Hogan, who was ostensibly the hero. You know what I mean? Everybody loved the Hulkster. And I was the bad guy. But now, you know, time has been, I think, kinder to Rowdy Roddy than the Hulkster.
He was a heel?
Culturally, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Culturally.
Well, you know, the Hulkster is...
Racistly.
Yeah.
And
also, you know, Roddy Piper sadly passed away. But
yeah.
Exactly. But as a person, he was... that's what I meant by time being kinder. Not because... It didn't kill Hulk Hogan as it did Rowdy Roddy Piper, but just that I think that he's remembered better for his legacy than the Hulkster is.
He was maybe, you know, arguably maybe a better person.
At least,
I'm not throwing out any judgments. I'm just saying.
It was so funny to me watching him be so silent as this drifter guy looking for work, hanging out with Keith David, who's always... like is amazing.
You can put him in anything.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's perfect always,
but he's silent. And then all of a sudden he's like, bubblegum. Bubblegum line. And I'm like,
I almost sound like you said bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
Well, I love that he comes out of nowhere. Don't you feel like they don't do a good job of establishing really who he is?
No.
And part of that is I think when the screenwriters adapted the story, the guy's name in the short story is George Nada. And I think they latched on to the idea of him being a man with no name character, and that Nada means zero. And that they wanted to model him after like a Clint Eastwood type.
Yeah.
Where he's the strong, silent character until the shit hits the fan. And then he's the guy who is the best guy to have in that situation. Mm-hmm. But they don't sell that. They give you a little bit of the backstory later on. He had to run away from home because his dad tried to kill him. And apparently he's just been waiting for his moment. To rise up against being oppressed, but he didn't know who his oppressors were until he got the glasses.
He has kind of a Rambo intro.
Yeah.
He kind of comes in like Rambo with his
bedroll.
His bedroll, and just he's looking for work, just honest work.
Yeah, he just wants to use tools. His hands. Well, that's the funny thing is, in the first act of this movie, it's L.A., which still notoriously has this terrible homelessness problem. And there's these camps and like tent cities, and there's one across the street from this church. And you're going to see a lot of the people that John Carpenter always uses in these scenes, like as different homeless characters, the same actors that turn up in pretty much all of his early movies are in this. And he comes into this town, and his thing is he believes in the American dream that if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. He meets Keith David, who's like, hey, I got a family back in Detroit. I had to come here for work because they shut down the auto plants. And what you're saying isn't true. That's bullshit. You know, you just got to look out for yourself and do what you can. And when he discovers this underground movement who have caught on that they're putting out this broadcast or trying to warn everybody that the elite who actually run the world are these aliens, and that we're literally just all slave labor for these aliens. With their human co-conspirators who are the only humans who get to live, you know, in the upper class. So when Nada finally sees this, he switches like a light switch from this tough, scrappy guy who has been taking care of himself since he was a kid and been homeless, to this guy who is
turns into a pun machine.
He's the new leader. He's the new leader of the revolution.
Well, I like his approach when he, after he gets the glasses, and he's still a wiseacre.
Mm-hmm. He is.
I also like the whole thing.
I like that he just casually picks up assault rifles and just walks in the crowd. And is just like, even though no one knows that these are all evil aliens, I'm just going to fire into it.
It's enough for him that they are aliens, which could be like kind of a scary view of the movie. Is he doesn't know what they're doing. He just knows what they are, and makes the determination to go and wipe them out. Yeah, he
determines that they're evil. Right. He doesn't know anything about them.
Well, I feel like it was pretty obvious they were evil.
Well, and I think in the context of the movie, they're obviously evil just because that's what they are.
It's the audience is expected to be like, okay, they're evil. They look like zombies.
Not just that, because he sees all the subliminal messages too.
Yeah.
And that's very...
How does he know it's like connected?
Oppressive language that they're using.
There's some Batman,
you put two and two together.
Yeah, leaps of logic.
Okay.
But this turn from Act One, after the tent cities are raided and the church is was it burned down in that scene?
I don't know.
That's funny. We just watched it last night.
They just raided it.
Well, I watched it last week, but
yeah, they didn't burn it down.
So this church is raided, and he escapes with a box full of the sunglasses. At this point, he still doesn't know what they are. Once he has, you know, it's been revealed to him that they're they decode the blinders. And whenever he wears them, I love that it looks like a 50s science fiction movie whenever they're on. I think that's a really cool, like, stylistically, I think this is like the height of camp.
Oh, no, I loved that. Yeah.
Reminded me of like Mars Attacks or something.
Yeah. And
I love the fight scene between him and Keith David that goes on for 1,000 years.
I
love when you think it's over and then like he just walks over into the shot and just starts attacking Keith David again, like and he starts up again.
It's so great.
It is the height of dumb dude stuff. And I don't know that they know why they're fighting that long.
It's slapstick.
Well, the whole reason originally they rehearsed this in the backyard, I guess, of the studio complex, which I didn't know those had backyards, but they did. And when they shot it, it was like 5.5 minutes long. And when Carpenter went in to edit it, he liked it too much to cut it down. And he just left it intact in its entirety, the way they filmed it.
It was really well choreographed.
Yeah. It's,
it looked like it hurt.
Well, they said everything but the head shots were real.
Damn.
So whenever they were punching each other in the body,
David's a brute.
Yeah.
They show the back of his head and there's like skin missing.
Yeah.
That was a pretty brutal shot, I thought.
It looks real, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if he actually hit his head, but I couldn't find.
Like they absolutely beat the shit out of each other for. Because he doesn't want to wear the glasses.
He's trying to save him because he knows he has a family and stuff.
I know, but he's like, money. I'm trying to help you. And not as like, wear the glasses. And Keith David's like, I don't want any part of this. And then they just try to murder each other.
He could have saved a lot of face punching if he had just put the glasses on for a second.
For a second.
Yeah. Nobody will humor him with the glasses. Like when he meets Holly, the Meg Foster's character at the bank.
The piercing blue robot eyes.
Yes.
She looks, her eyes, I'm sure she's a lovely lady, but she looks evil.
She usually plays evil characters.
She does.
She was Evil Lynn.
Yeah.
In Masters of the Universe movie.
I'm pretty sure she was the awful mom from Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, was she?
I think so.
She won't wear them either, even though like she says, well, if I put them on, I'm going to tell you I see stuff regardless. So why do you want me to wear them? Because she's like, you're just crazy.
I do love the logic that everybody's trying to throw at him. Like, I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to put these glasses on. I'll just tell you what I see. It's like, well, just do it anyway.
It's like masks right now with the pandemic.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They're it is like that.
They're like, I'm not going to do it. Do it.
My body, my choice. Somebody I'm not should putting these on.
They should make a PSA where they digitally replace the sunglasses with a mask for, he's trying to get Keith David to wear a mask and they just beat the shit out of each other. That'd be brilliant marketing. Public service announcement gold.
But you know when Roddy Piper puts the glasses on and sees the world for what it really is? It reminds me of those videos of people who are colorblind and then they get the glasses and only they start crying because they see the world.
Yeah.
I love watching the videos like that.
Or cochlear implants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, when they first hear and everything.
Yeah,
it's emotional porn.
It is. Agreed.
So you know, we're still in between acts 1 and 3, you're moving around and you have the Drifter Buck Flower who is in I love this character actor. He's the guy who has a real deep voice. He was in The Fog. He's like, there's no fog bank out there.
Oh, yeah. The coach from Arachnophobia. He's always a coach in a lot of things.
He's either a coach or a bum.
Yeah.
Like he was, I think he was the bum in Back to the Future when Marty drives the DeLorean in, but regardless.
Yeah. He's part of the homeless camp that gets raided.
I love what they did with his character in the beginning. He's the most stereotypical drifter type of character that you expect from like movies from like the 30s and 40s. And then in the third act, when they reveal who the human co-conspirators with the aliens are, he's one of the ones, first ones that sold out, and he's got a tuxedo.
Oh yeah. That's not who I was thinking of, by the way, as the coach.
Oh, okay.
But I know. Yeah. That guy is all over everywhere too. Yeah. He's always a bum, like, or in like in the Old West or something.
Yeah.
I know,
or like a sailor, a cowboy, or a bum, like a rough, rough living character.
I was thinking of one of the people who have the sunglass, like the secret group that,
oh, you're thinking of Peter Jason.
Probably.
He, Gilbert, the first leader of the group.
Who, yeah, he's kind of chunky. He's got the
silver hair.
Yeah, he's always a coach.
Yeah, yeah. He was a coach a lot. And he's also one of those frequent collaborators with John Carpenter. He was in Prince of Darkness and all that.
Oh, yeah. So
here's... Okay, so when he puts the glasses on, he can obviously see the zombie aliens, but... He can also, he sees them using their watches as communication devices. Like, we have one that can see us. And that, you know, that predates the Apple Watch, obviously. So that was interesting.
And they have teleporters in them, just like the new Apple Watch does.
Yeah. But no, they also have drones that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Only when you have the glasses on that will come in and fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
Did drones exist in 88?
No. I don't know.
So now we have this movie gave us the Apple Watch and killer drones.
Well, the drones,
I think they had drone planes, but they didn't have like what we have now.
Well, they were little like,
they were just spies. Gods. They were kind of like the Imperial.
Well, there's still a flying thing that can,
they're probe droids,
like probe droids without the weaponry.
Yeah.
Anal probe droids.
Anal probe droids.
And what did he say to the drone before he shot it? He's like, "Mama don't like ye." It was something. He had such a corny, funny line.
What was so many dumb lines?
They were mostly like stuff from his wrestling. He would write little
and that's
quips,
fine,
you know?
I guess. Yeah. But doesn't he say something about love at one point? I'm like, what did that have to do with anything?
Oh, that was like Macho Man. Macho Man maybe said that or something. Where it was a.
So you had to have a wrestling fandom.
Whoops. Yeah.
Why don't you just do that?
I just accidentally hit a button. My hands are just all over the place today.
He's pretty handsy, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a degree in wrestling speak. I just didn't understand some of the stuff he said, but
well,
it was fine.
Who said
it,
you guys
matter.
Froze for a second, so I missed it.
Oh,
I was just saying, yeah. I don't understand.
Here's some lines other than the one you already heard about chewing bubblegum and kicking ass. But there's a great moment in the store when he falls down and he says to the lady, he's like, you're okay. This one real fucking ugly. That's a great, I love that.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then there are,
I'll allow that one.
There's the line about when Frank says, I've walked a white line my entire life. I'm not about to screw that up. And Nada says, white lines in the middle of the road. That's the worst place to drive.
Yeah, it's a good line.
That almost had like a racial undertone.
You don't walk in the middle of the road.
No. I understand. But the white line. What the white people want me to do.
Oh, damn.
It's an interesting.
I was thinking about cocaine, actually.
That too.
Then there's the line when he says, when Nada says to one of the aliens, he says, you know, you look like your head fell in the cheese dip back in 1957.
Did they have cheese dip in 1957?
It wasn't invented until 1958. That's in the Goofs.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, it's covered in cheese.
I don't think you need to, Amy. You just take in the paper for what it is.
He calls one of them a formaldehyde face.
That's fine. I'll allow that one.
He says,
it doesn't roll off the tongue, though.
No.
Too many syllables.
Too many?
I come from a world where I had Buffy give me perfect quips and puns before she murdered.
I found
he's like that kid at school who's not good at coming up with too many quips. Every now and again, they come up with a good one, but usually you're like, what?
Before he shoots the drone, he says, Mama don't like tattletales. That's what he said.
Yeah, she don't. Mm-hmm. Mama wants you to figure it out on your own.
Anywho, I could go on all day.
From a being this like silent dude, and now all of a sudden he's just whipping out puns when most of us would just be like, ah, shooting the drone. I mean,
what's, you know. What's a healthier way to cope, I guess?
Freddie, I just don't know.
We need to think about this. Is punnery the only way to get by? When you're an oppressed person, are puns, I feel like the oppressed puns are power to the oppressed.
I felt like spent a lot of time looking confused. I feel like, like John Carpenter would say, Rowdy, I want you in this scene to like kind of be trying to figure out what you're going to do. And I think that just became,
Kelly, there is something like that they kind of gloss over when he first gets the glasses is they make you high and give you brain damage.
I know that they hurt your head. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and like, that's the thing is like,
and there's a come down. So maybe the quipping is part of the high.
Yeah. Like he's supposed to be really messed up and that's why he's kind of stumbling when they first wear them, but they don't, they don't establish it. They have like one throwaway line about it. So I think that it makes his performance like seem awkward and strange in those moments because you're like, why is he stumbling around? Unless you really, really like listen for that moment or know it already going into it, it'll be lost on you. I think that he's supposed to be like, basically, I think it might be like a PCP high or something.
Mm. And then do you think,
go ahead.
Well, do you think that they had more for him to do, but then they realized that he was limited as an actor and made him as a silent type?
No, that's not. I mean, like they leaned in every aspect of this movie. It was totally over the top. So I think it was just a case of the 1980s.
That's your problem. You got a case of the 1980s.
Yeah.
Oops. It's incurable.
It's very 1980s.
After the big fight sequence and he gets Keith David on his side, they go on the run and then they meet back up with Gilbert. And he's like, listen, Godfrey. We have a Gilbert Gottfried. And he's like, meh, meh, meh. And they find out where the underground is meeting the resistance. And they get their contact lenses, which is like an upgrade.
This scene bothered me so much because they just put their dirty hands in it and then put the contacts in. You have to wash your hands.
Yeah. They didn't even like, he just did it standing up, like, like nothing to lean on.
He didn't pull his eye down and. What in front of a mirror, like,
right in there.
But I'm like, that's just an eye infection way it happens.
But that gets rated, but not before they see Holly.
Yeah, Holly's there.
She's like, I'm part of the resistance now.
And she works for Channel 54 or whatever it is.
Cable 54.
Cable 54, which is the big news network.
She's going to help them find where the signal is.
Yep.
But then they get raided, they get separated.
And they assassinate everyone in the cell. The police come in and kill everyone except for Holly, Nada, and Frank. Yeah, Frank. So the three of them are the only three members of the resistance that live through that.
But they manage to get out of the underground resistance area with the contact lenses, which prevent the headaches and stuff. It's nice. And they get the super watch. So they can listen to their the aliens' yip yaps, and they can transport into their underground lair.
And they use it to escape.
They use it to escape into the utilidors under the alien theme park.
Yeah. So they end up in these corridors and stumble across. Now at this point, Holly is separated from them. She's supposed to be working the other angle, right, of finding the signal, I believe.
Yep.
And they end up in these corridors and they stumble across this award ceremony for all of the human co-conspirators.
And I think that's very nice that they reward them.
You know what? If this is the thing about this that makes, I think, it kind of a great commentary where it could have just easily, it's not super black and white. Like it's very much like the Matrix in that you could interpret it as it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world to conspire with these aliens. Because the consequences are kind of subjective.
I would have been so mad if someone had come and taken me out of the Matrix and showed me, yeah, I'd have been like, you put me back right now.
Well, that's like, God damn it, Trinity, put me back in.
That's what a Joey Pants character was all about. I know. Yeah. And I mean, you can kind of get that. And in this movie, I would say the Drifter character kind of represents that same type of character where he's like, you know what? I finally made it. And all I had to do was sell out. And now I'm rich. I got a tuxedo. And he's so happy to see Frank and Nada there. He thinks they're on his team now and that they're part of it.
He doesn't even worry about it. He's like, let me show you where everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you want to see the launch codes? You know, like, he's as ready to give up everything.
Well, they told him a lot of stuff right away.
Yeah.
How did he know so much about this stuff?
They're very trusting. They're a very trusting species.
And he was like, oh, let me get your tuxedo. Is there like a tuxedo warehouse or something?
I think there's like an arrogance. Like,
there's a men's warehouse.
Because they did, the aliens kind of just think they have it all under control.
Yeah, he says that they're trying to reshape Earth into their atmosphere.
Like the pollution that and everything, the stuff that's destroying our planet is actually terraforming it for them.
They're like colonizing us the same way that we have as humans done to other nations.
Right.
You know.
And
ain't cool.
He shows them the little airport, which is this teleporting room where I love the aliens still use suitcases and stuff.
They got their little suitcases.
And they get beamed out, which I thought was really fun. Again, this is very 1950s sci-fi. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
I really can't imagine that they were like, we're making a very serious movie here.
Oh, obviously not, but yeah, it's still clunky. But go on.
Yeah, it's a goofy movie. It's a goofy movie.
A goofy movie? It's the goofy movie.
So they're, you know, teleporting out to all different worlds. He goes, any, you know, wherever you want to go, all kinds of planets. And they're like, they're way advanced and better than us in every way. And then Roddy Piper's like, fuck that noise. I'm going to kill him. And then he's like, why? And he's like, I don't know. I don't like being told what to do. And then it's revealed that Holly was really in on it.
She's a double crosser.
She kills Frank in a shocking move.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Frank, he was such a just a stand-up guy. And
yeah,
he didn't deserve the way he went out.
Well, they all, you know, everybody goes out in the end of this, but he does destroy the signal. After killing Holly, Nada destroys the signal and he gives the big middle finger to the choppers that are circling the building. And that's how it ends.
Yep.
Everyone's revealed. All of the aliens are revealed for what they really are. And it ends with one of my favorite shots of the 80s, and because it's such a who ends a movie like this, I think it's fantastic. There's a woman topless straddling a guy and he's like, what's the matter, babe? And he's one of the aliens.
He's got the alien face. Yeah.
And
she did not she did not look like she was having fun either.
No.
Yeah,
it was like she was going through the motions.
Yeah, she was watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Carson's on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a fun little commentary.
There's so much real in it.
Yeah.
That it I get why it's a big deal in the, you know, horror community.
Did you know that this has been co-opted by white supremacists and Nazis?
Why?
No.
They say that this movie, and this is huge among white supremacists.
Oh no.
But John Carpenter has disavowed theory, obviously, and it's asinine and really mean. But like they believe that this is a commentary on how Jews run the world. And so this movie became hugely popular among Nazi groups.
Yes, Jews run the world.
Which is a shame.
Duh. That's why the Holocaust happened.
Yeah. Well, having like the incels kind of co-opted the Matrix stuff with the red pill, blue pill stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, so, stop taking cool stuff and using it for your bullshit.
Or like Southern Baptists, you know, co-opted the Bible.
It's these dumbass groups that are co-opting these movies that are really against what they really stand for.
Right. This is just a comment on unchecked capitalism.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way that Carpenter put it. He was like, this is what happens when you just let capitalism go completely unreined.
It was kind of, would I have had more fun with it pre-pandemic and watching what capitalism has done to us where we are right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Hello, Kitty Cat behind Kelly.
Well, there were a couple of scenes that were actually really hard to watch for me. Like when they took the tanks and drove over the homeless camp and raided the resistance group at the end and shot everybody.
You know,
just felt a little too real for me at this moment.
I don't know how much you've read about this, but Roddy Piper actually experienced something similar to that in his own life. Like, he was homeless and he, I guess, was part of a raid of a homeless encampment. Mm. So when they did that scene, apparently, like, he got real shook up.
Mm. I bet.
I don't know much about Mr. Piper. I know he's a wrestler. I know I met him and he was very nice. I know he's in this movie. But clocked that Canadian accent like whoa in this. I never watched him as a wrestler, so everybody probably already knew that, but I was like, I hear what you're all about.
I had totally forgotten that.
Are you sorry about that, Mr. Piper?
I'm so used to it watching, it is like now when we were like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry that we can't watch Degrassi right now since we have to record this podcast.
We can't talk. I mean, what's that about?
Is this the only time you come up for air from Degrassi? Is when we record?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm going to start scratching. Yeah. And
just like, I need that shit.
Oh, baby. I suck your dick.
You got some
Just put on some Degrassi. I need my Drake.
Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I want to just bring up that scene in the beginning where they're at the construction site and how homoerotic it was.
Oh, yeah.
They were checking each other out.
But like
when he had his shirt off.
He's shirtless and he's digging. He's all like sick and sexy. And at the end, Keith David is like, you got a place to stay? And then Roddy Piper runs his hands through his fingers like he's contemplating it.
His hands through his hair.
Hands through his hair.
He runs his hands through his fingers.
Hands through his fingers.
Yeah. But he runs his fingers through his hair. That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
And it looked like he was contemplating going home with Keith David. I was like, yeah, they're going to fuck.
Well, that's, I think midway through the long fight scene, I'm like, just bone already.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have minded it, but it was just kind of like, damn. It was very... I mean, on top of his tight ass jeans, I was like, damn, this is a sexy ass movie.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
They Live.
So this wraps up Eat the Rich. Fun theme. Thanks again to David J for picking They Live, a movie that I was shocked we hadn't covered already.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites, even though it's goofy.
Very much a part of the world we live in, but I had just never seen it because I can't see every movie.
Yeah. We will announce the theme for next month on our next episode, which is listener feedback. So send your feedback crew@notlp.com or on Facebook and Twitter as NOTLP and on Instagram as Night of the Living Podcast, or you can call us at 513-666-0456.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, motherfucker. The end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Beelzebubs.
And done.
These are the people who are big time producers.
These people can chew my bubblegum and kick my ass.
Okay.
Metaphorically speaking.
She's the kind of girl that made me chew on my bubblegum.
We got Ernie.
Thank you, Ernie.
Elise, who we've already seen hovering in the background of Kelly's life.
I will see you very shortly, my love.
Yeah. We got Commanda, which was a nickname I gave her a long time ago. I like to give all of you nicknames.
She's a nickname queen. She's a knick-knack paddywhack.
She's a knick-knack paddywhack.
Knick-knack paddywhack.
We've got Scaramy Burmeister.
Oh, it's Cassie. Like the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
We got Jeremy Baramy. Mark Watts.
Oh, you just gave up.
Yeah, you got to say Cassie and Gamora, too.
I said Cassie, but I forgot Gamora. Gamora.
Mark Kilowatts. Yeah.
No. Thank Blake, you. That's
the better. Mark of the Red Death.
Blake, of course. Blake is forever doomed with Balake, and that's Key and Peele's fault, not mine. We got Bill, who we like to go New York City from the Pace Picante commercials. Tree and Alex. Those look like some damn fine pierogies.
Yes, they did.
We've got Iona Goodwin. Hey, Andy.
What's that?
What
else do you own, Amy?
I own a great one.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, have we given Jeff Lancaster something? We need to give him something.
A tug.
Well, I don't know about that.
You can handle that.
Right. Jeffrey? What's that
Everybody
from?
Everybody takes their turn.
How about
El Jefe?
That's good.
Brandon and Emily, they're also in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
They're just amazing. I don't know what to do there.
That's their nickname. Just amazing.
They're just amazing. I really
you're running out of steam. You set yourself up for some.
You guys could help.
We could, but Adam, it's easier to watch you struggle.
Adam Ingram, not Adam and Steve.
Adam and Steve from.
We've got Ghostface Bella. He already came. He came preloaded with his own nickname. Blaine.
Blaine it on the rain.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. Dad de Pampa. That's his full name. We just say it like that.
Yeah.
Dad de Pampa.
The ginger paisan.
The ginger paisan. And of course, Dennis Kennedy, which is from Akira.
Thank you, guys.
And that's how we do this shit, motherfuckers.
That's how we do it.
Mm. All right. We'll be back in 1 week with your feedback, whatever horror news Kelly can scrape up.
With your diagnosis.
All that fun shit.
Yep.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead. And Igor made the nachos in a severed human head. And they enjoy the movie with their friends. David Kessler walks the streets of London.